Perfect.
Thank you. All right. So we are in chapter 3 of Philippians. Last week was a little intense. I don't regret it at all. Like, I think the Holy Spirit really led, but I want you guys to be able to, like, take something away and, like, have something to truly apply to your life. So I tried to simplify it a little bit more and just, like, not make it too intense. but the main point today is that Jesus is our advocate. Do you guys all know what that word means? Like, who can, like, say what the definition would be, do you think?
No.
No. So you don't know. Do you know?
So it's basically, like, someone that stands on someone's behalf and...
Yeah, like a lawyer. It's, like, the same thing.
Yeah. Describe it.
Yeah. Like, okay, so in a courtroom, there is a defendant, right? The person who's being accused. And there is a lawyer or the advocate who stands up and talks to the judge and says, okay, here I have my defendant. They were accused of these crimes. I'm going to prove to you how they're innocent. Or sometimes they will plead guilty and try to have a less punishment for the defendant. So their job is to... stand up for the defendant. So Jesus is our advocate. So first off, like I said, that's what an advocate is that they stand up for the defendant. So Will Hawkins, an orphan, is stuck in the foster system. He copes with this situation by pulling pranks like putting a school up for sale on Craigslist and even hijacking a police car. He finds himself facing juvenile detention, but begs the officer to give him a chance to be better. It seems hopeless until a family overhears the situation and offers to foster him and take him to a Christian camp called A Week Away, where he reluctantly participates in worship and other Christian activities. He spends most of his time being angry and confused at God for taking away his parents and leaving him to struggle all this time. But over time, and with the help of friends, he finds peace and belonging. If that family hadn't volunteered to foster him, knowing his history of getting into trouble, he would have spent his life in juvie and maybe never would have figured out what it feels like to experience God's love or to be known by people. And just like that family who offered to take him in, who pleaded he not be sent to juvie and adopted him into their family, so did Jesus do for every one of us. So I'm going to stop there for a second, and we're going to read through just a little bit of chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but there's a few verses that I think we got to, like, make sure we actually go to the Word, right? Everything I'm saying is inspired by His Word, but I want to make sure that we highlight what He said. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." So, Jesus adopted us into his family, right? So, like, we're the defendant. Think of yourself in that courtroom. It says in the Bible somewhere that, like, the devil accuses us before the Father day and night. Like, he's trying to find a way to say, like, you got to get rid of these people. Like, they're constantly sinning. And he's like, yeah, I know, but that's why I sent my son Jesus to pay for their sin. And so no matter how many times the enemy accuses us, because he's not wrong, right? Like, we've lied. We've neglected God. Maybe we've done worse things. Maybe there's secret sin that nobody knows about, but, like, God sees it. But he also chooses to not remember it. He says, oh, well, I already sent my son to pay for that. That's the whole point. Like, you are washed white as snow. And so he essentially said, like, if you were in the courtroom and you were about to go to jail for a crime that you committed, he basically is the attorney or the lawyer, the advocate, standing up and saying, no, I'll go to jail. And they're like, why would you do that? You didn't do a thing. Like, your job is to defend, to stand up for your defendant. And now you're, like, saying, oh, I'll take the blame. Like, who would do that? that, like, they didn't do anything. They're actually helping this person. What more could they do than to say, okay, I'm going to go to jail for you? And so if we think about it that way, like, that's what Jesus did for us. He essentially said, let them go. I'll go to prison instead. His job, if we think of him as the advocate in the courtroom, was to just stand up, to just tell them, like, okay, yeah, I know they did this thing, but, like, this is what's going on in their life, and, like, maybe this is why they made this bad decision. Maybe this is why Will Hawkins stole a police car. Well, he lost his parents, and he was angry at God, and he was jumping from foster family to foster family, and nobody could keep him because he just kept, like, pulling pranks and driving them crazy. He had no hope. But this family overhears his situation and says, like, come live with us. And then he goes to his camp, and he's absolutely transformed because he sees these people worshiping this God that he's angry at. They, you know, he finds out that not everyone there is actually picture perfect. Like, everybody there has something they're going through. And he befriends one particular person who tells him about losing her mom. And just, they connect over that. Like, the fact that they both had this loss. Because he thought, oh, she's perfect. Like, she's always smiling. It's kind of a musical movie. So, like, they're always dancing. And, like, this is the best day ever. Like, it's very, I don't know, Disney-fied, I guess. But, yeah. So he has the chance to realize, to identify with these people, like, they're not perfect like he thought they were. But, like, perfection doesn't come from just, like, doing everything right. So this is what Paul is talking about when he says in verse 9, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of Paul's own, but a righteousness from Jesus that depends on faith, and Jesus' choice to give his righteousness to Paul. So, like, all of what I said related to Paul, like, he... Right, we know who Paul is. He was the one who was on his way to Damascus to imprison the Christians, to kill them. He had just stoned Stephen. And, you know, Jesus stops him in his tracks. He blinds him so he can see. And now he's saying, okay, yeah, I was the worst person ever. But, like, I was given Jesus' righteousness. I no longer have to identify as the worst of worse. And now he's encouraging the Philippians to continue to press on in sharing the gospel, that things are going to be hard. There's going to be people who walk against you. Like verse 18, when he says, for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But he encourages them. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So all that is true. Like, Paul is saying this, and he's saying that I have this righteousness that Jesus gave me. But how would this, like, relate to your life? This song, Live Like You're Loved, by Huck Nelson. I'm thinking of do you know, there's also, like, a famous skateboarder who has a similar name.
Tony
Hawk. Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Okay, good. So I have the right name. But the song is called Live Like You're Loved, and it's talking about how you're free. It's okay to live like you're set free. It's okay to live like you have joy because you don't have to worry about, like, things you've done. You don't have to worry about the things you've been through. Like, Jesus can take it all. You don't have to sit in a courtroom and try to defend yourself because your advocate is always going to say, like, oh, I already died for him. Like, I'm taking his place. You don't have to worry about it. So it's not too late to confess, you know, okay, like, related to school, it's not too late to confess that you cheated on a test, right? Like, I'm sure everybody's done that at some point, or maybe, like, bent the rules a little bit. And it's not too late to ask your friend to forgive you for something you did, even if it was years ago. You know, you might be able to, like, restore that friendship. And the last thing is, this is something that just came to mind, is that it's not too late to run back to your parents, even though you said some things to them. Because sometimes when we're angry or upset about things in life, I think sometimes we take it out on our people we love the most, which would be your parents or your siblings or your closest friends. But all those things, like, you still have the time to to confess those things and know that, like, no matter what you've done, like, Jesus already says you're righteous because he gave you his righteousness. And so Jesus is your advocate just as much as he was Paul's advocate. So I hope that encourages you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that it's true that we get to take on the righteousness of Jesus, that he gave it to us as a gift, that we don't have to worry about our thoughts, the things we've done, the way that we just mess up over and over again. We don't have to be even call ourselves sinners, right? We have to, like, remember that, like, Jesus already died for our sins. It is finished. Everything is paid for. And we just thank you that that is true. And I pray that the students here, whatever they're going through, that they would really take that to heart, and that they would, if there's something to confess or there's something to ask God to forgive them for, whatever it may be, that they would know they can come to you angry, sad, lonely, tired, questioning if he's even real. They can go to him. There is no, there's nothing keeping them from him. I just pray that they would go to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.